This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon, the 7th day of January. We're joined by Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, you and I follow each other on Twitter, and you posted something interesting earlier in the week I'd like to take up. It's a graphic that shows some, but not all, of the U.S. corn yields after the 12 wettest Novembers and December since 1895 in the Corn Belt, and then what happens the following summer, I believe, and what the deviation from trend yield is like. Can you explain that graphic just a bit?
Yeah, so what we did is we looked at how much rain fell over November, December, because November, December of 2015 was the number one wettest in 121 years of record. So then what we did is we looked at some of the other years that were really wet. And of the 12 wettest that occurred since 1895, nine of those fell since 1960. And the reason we care about 1960 is because that's about the time that we can start looking back into the past and compare those corn and soybean crops to today's corn and soybean crops. And everything would pretty much be equal because yields have tended to move up at a very steady rate since about 1960. And so if you look at all the years that were similarly wet since 1960, we have nine different crop years to look at. And of those 9 years, six of them had below trend corn yields. And not only that, five of those six were the worst on record since 1960. And we're talking about some pretty bad yields here. 1983 was around 20 bushels below trend. 1993, about 20 bushels below trend. Everyone remembers 2012, that was about 33 bushels below trend. 1988, the big drought, about 30 bushels below trend. And also 1974, which was more related to corn blight, but that year was around 15 bushels below trend. So that's looking at corn. So we can just say that the probability appears to be considerably higher than normal for some type of weather problem, just from looking at this data only. Soybeans, it's pretty much the same story. Some of the years are a bit different, especially with 1984. The 1984 soybean crop was one of the worst since 1960, but for corn, it was not. It was just pretty much near trend. Again, six years were far below trend for soybeans since 1960, following these real wet November, Decembers. Now, we know we're only looking at one piece of data here, and it's possible this is just a statistical anomaly, though more than likely it's not. I mean, this is like looking at the Hall of Fame of bad crops and then looking at the Hall of Fame of wet November, Decembers. You know, you put all these together and you start to have some idea of what may be happening in the atmosphere, at least telling us that a problem lies ahead. Now, we can look at other things, too, and this is where it gets really interesting. If you look at September through December temperature across the U.S. Corn Belt, it was the number two warmest since 1895 in 2015. We're pretty sure it's going to stay fairly mild all the way through February, even though next week will be fairly cold. 1 week of cold weather in the middle of winter is not a big deal. Even yesterday was around 6 degrees above normal across the Corn Belt. If you look at, again, September through December temperature, and then you look at what happens in the summer that follows, all 10 of those had warmer than normal July, August, because we looked at the 10 warmest September through February's on record, and then we looked at what happened in July, August. All 10 were warmer than normal. And not only that, if you look at El Nino conditions, again, we're in a very strong El Nino now. That is beginning to weaken, and it will continue to weaken over the next 6 to 9 months. 9 of 10 weakening El Nino situations led to above normal temperatures in August. Above normal temperatures in July and August, you may recall, is never a good thing for corn and soybean yields because that's when they're most sensitive to temperature. So you want it to be cool at that time of the year. So we have basically three different pieces of information that point toward the potential for a problem coming up in the summer. Number one, just to summarize, is that we just had the wettest November, December on record, and many of the worst crops follow that type of a weather pattern. We have a dying El Nino. Again, 9 of 10 August were warmer than normal following that El Nino, though yields weren't always far below trend following an El Nino. But we just do want to point out that we do have a weather factor that seems to correlate there. And then again, if you look at mildness over the September through February period. And we already know that this September through February will rank among the warmest on record, possibly even number one, two, or three warmest on record. Well, all July-August periods that followed across the Corn Belt, all 10 of them that were among those warmest, were also warmer than normal. So again, we can't say for sure that we're going to have a major crop problem, but we can say the risk is considerably higher than normal and probably as high as it will ever be at this time of the year. I don't really recall a situation in my doing this for 10 years where we could have some confidence in the potential for issues later on in the summer. And I can't imagine one won't come up quite like this again, just because all these different features all kind of tell us the same thing, and that's that the risk is considerably higher than normal going forward.
Mike, thank you so very much for taking us through all of that. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great afternoon.
Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. You can hear him again on our website shortly if you'd like it, willag.org. That's willag.org. It'll be posted in the closing market report not long after 3 o'clock this afternoon. The program, of course, in its entirety. You can find him online as well. His website is www.tstorm.net. That's tstorm.net. Or follow Mike on Twitter. His handle is @tstormweather. My handle, by the way, is @commodityweek. In a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the cash grain market. Matt Bennett will be here from Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois.